As a child, I remember being fascinated by my grandmother's stories. She was a school teacher and had lots and lots of stories to tell. And just when I thought I knew a story very, very well and couldn't wait for her to repeat the happy ending, she would surprise me with an ending that was more like a question that made me think hard and sent me right back to the beginning. This is how she ended every time.
Y pasó por un zapatito roto para que mañana te cuente otro.
And this story went through the hold of an old worn shoe so that tomorrow I can tell it to you again. Ask any storyteller and they will tell you that there are as many versions of the same story as there are grains of sands. Each time the story is told, it acquires new and different meanings. Even when the story is told word for word, it is never exactly the same, is it? As a storyteller, I believe in the power of memory, of remembrance, of bringing people, things, and places back from memory. Holidays are times that are mixed. We might have wonderful memories, and we may not. We may be dreading the gathering that is coming up, and we may be looking forward to it. We may be feeling already the loneliness of seeing the empty space for the first time around the table. Holidays are so mixed, aren't they? And there are so many stories about Thanksgiving, so many ways that we learn about this holiday. And as an immigrant, it has been fascinating to hear the many versions and for me to engage in different types of gatherings and celebrations over the years. Do you remember how you learned the Thanksgiving story? You do? Where did you learn your Thanksgiving story?
Around the table.
Around the table. And what were some of the things that were said around the table?
Pass the butter.
Pass the butter. Pass the gravy. Don't take all the sweet potatoes. I love it. That's the poet in the house. Pilgrims. Natives. Sharing. Gratitude. Yes.
My parents told me the Native Americans were so happy to see us.
That's a very popular version. There are so many books about that one. Yeah. Yeah.
Feasting.
Survival. Yes.
Religious freedom.
And this is the animal rights advocate in the house, which we all should be. Problems for the turkeys. Yes.
Yes.
Gifts of corn. New friendship. Back there?
Sharing what we have.
Sharing what we have. I like that version. How Native Americans helped to save the lives of the pilgrims.
How hard mom worked to serve the family.
How hard mom worked to serve the family.
Lots of dads do too.
Lots of dads do too nowadays.
How to plant corn was part of the story.
How to plant corn. That was part of the story. I like that. So we come here with so many versions of Thanksgiving, looking for that common ground and looking forward
to celebrating in community, in family, together. So the event we know today as the first Thanksgiving is said to have been a harvest festival held in 1621 in Plymouth by the Pilgrims and their Native American neighbors, the Mashpee Wampanoag. But this story is not the whole story. Another story tells of the first official day of Thanksgiving being proclaimed in 1637 by Massachusetts Governor John Winthrop. But this is not the whole story either. And sometimes we need to rely on rocks to tell the story. Let me tell you, there is a rock in Plymouth with an inscription that reads, and I quote, "Since 1970, Native Americans have gathered at noon on Coles Hill in Plymouth to commemorate a national day of mourning on the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday. Many Native Americans do not celebrate the arrival of the Pilgrims and other European settlers. To them, Thanksgiving Day is a reminder of the genocide, the theft of their lands, the assault on their cultures. Participants in a national day of mourning honor Native ancestors and the struggles of Native peoples to survive today. It is a day of remembrance and a spiritual connection to one another and to the earth. It is also a protest of the racism and oppression which Native Americans continue to experience," end quote. Have you heard this story before? I think you have. For years, I traveled to Plymouth and participated in this National Day of Mourning, and I was there with thousands of others who went to the rock, who read the inscription, and after the political rally, we gathered in gratitude, in community, in joy. And so it was a political manifestation as well as a deeply spiritual ritual. We spoke truth to power, we bore witness, and we gave thanks. Have I told you the story of my first Thanksgiving? If I have, I'm going to tell it again. And I promise, even though it'll be word for word, it'll not be the same. My grandmother, my mother, and I arrived in the United States in the wintertime in New Jersey. It was freezing cold, and we were so sad to be far away from our country where Christmas happens in the summertime, and we go to the beach and eat grapes and peaches. I missed my friends so much, and I imagined them having so much fun without me, and that did not feel good. We sat by the window looking at the empty streets when suddenly I saw it. Snow. I had never seen snow before. I ran to get my mother, and we bundled up as we went outside to see this miracle. I remember twirling around and around, looking up at the sky, trying to catch some of the snowflakes. I felt sad and happy at the same time. The snow was melting in my mouth, and the sorrow was melting in my heart. So that first winter was really, really cold, and my mother heard that the neighbors, Familia Belen from the Philippines, needed blankets. My mother brought them quilted sleeping bags that she used to sew in a factory that she worked in. And the people were so happy to receive them. And they, in turn, invited us to dinner. We didn't know it was a special dinner. Theirs was a beautiful and humble table where every plate was a miracle and was a chance to learn about another culture. We did not know those dishes. We had never tasted such delicious food. I don't know, and I don't remember how we communicated. I suppose that because some people from the Philippines speak some Spanish, might have understood us, but I think I remember making lots of signs and just checking in and looking at people's faces to see if they were smiling and friendly. And yes, they were friendly and smiling. I remember in my heart a sense of deep joy and gratitude, accompanying a sense of deep loss and sadness at being so far away from home. Yet being able to feel warm, safe, welcome, surprised us with joy and hope. I surprised myself with my own laughter. A couple of months later, on another snowy day, my grandmother died. And it was Familia Belen, this Filipino family, who showed up first to offer support, the warmth of their loving kindness, and food. For my mother, Thanksgiving, Día de Acción de Gracias. It is a day of an action of gratitude, is what we call Thanksgiving in Spanish. A day of action of gratitude. For my mom, this became a holiday to celebrate life, to share with others, especially those far away from home, other immigrants, to pause and think about our ancestors and give thanks for all that they gave us in life, resiliency, love, continued guidance. When my mother returned to Chile, our country of origin, she brought the spirit of Thanksgiving with her. It became an opportunity for her to reimagine and rebuild community. She started doing community service at her church, visiting the sick, knitting blankets, baking bread, and sharing meals on November 24th. Perhaps the turkey took the shape of a chicken or corn pudding and grapes replaced cranberries, but the spirit of gratitude still brought back memories of the joy of sharing with that first family in New Jersey. And every Thanksgiving, after saying gracias, my mother tells the story of the first Thanksgiving that was about kindness, that was about a Filipino family accepting our blankets filled with love, and in return offering food filled with delicious kindness that gave us a sense of well-being. When we are in the midst of grieving, when we are beginning to feel the effects of the actions of those who have been emboldened by hate, it is hard to think about and practice gratitude. It's hard to express it in an action, to think about compassion and kindness when there is so much pain all around us. Yet this is precisely what we are being called to do. Right now, to be our boldest in expressing gratitude and love, to be courageous and extend the table to welcome those who are most vulnerable. Our UU faith calls us to answer the call of love in what Reverend Susan Frederick Gray describes as a defining moment of enormous change and uncertainty for our country, for our environment, and the world. She says that we need to be a vital voice for love and justice, now more than ever. That now more than ever, we must ground ourselves in relationship, to nurture healthy communities, to focus on our covenant and right relationship, to act powerfully and collectively, to develop strong interfaith relationships, which we are already doing, and to reach within and beyond and organize for impact. The call of our faith is for more love, more leadership, more courage, more spiritual resiliency. The call is to remember our best selves. Remember the courage of our ancestors. Remember the Trail of Tears. Remember the courage of the original sanctuary movement of the 80s. Remember the courage of the farm workers right here in California. Remember the courage of the civil rights movement. Remember the seeds that have been planted before us. And let us be intentionally loving and courageous about the seeds we will plant today and tomorrow. Let us be a light. Last Wednesday evening, we were invited by our Sikh neighbors to visit their temple to learn about their religion. How many people were able to join us then? Quite a few. Wasn't that a wonderful experience? I just came back with the most wonderful sense of peace after the storm. And just, I radiated their kindness, it seemed. From the moment that we walked into the Gurdwara, we were greeted by kind and warm smiles. Delicious food had been prepared for us and was offered abundantly before and after the service. During the service, we delighted in the music, the beautiful community that showed up. People took off their shoes and approached the main altar with such reverence and humility, bowing with such respect, even the little children. We learned that the word Sikh means student, that they believe that we are all one, and that their religion emerged out of resistance against imperial powers that imposed a caste system that would not have everyone sitting at the table. They rebelled against strict prohibitions that kept the masses living under a system of oppression. The Sikhs broke away from that system. They rebelled against the ruling class, and they were persecuted for it, tortured and martyred. They tell the story of one of their first gurus being burned to death in the 14th century for believing and practicing equality, for building a welcome table and inviting everyone without exception to a free community meal. Their story brings to mind our own ancestor, Unitarian martyr Miguel Servetus, who was burned at the stake in 1553 for writing against the Trinity and going against the religious status quo, for speaking truth to power, for seeking a free religion, for resisting, for making another world possible, for giving us the beginnings of our liberal religion in which we are rooted. The Sikhs share with us that some of the symbolism and the rituals we observed were meant to remind people of the times when they were not allowed to even ride horses, when they were forced into servitude, when they were separated according to caste. Instead of serving an emperor, they now serve their spiritual guide, love, light, the one light. As Unitarian Universalists, we too express our oneness every time we light the chalice. Light is our common prayer, our connection to the universe, and a symbol of hope. The Sikh temple is a welcoming place for everyone, and they don't refuse to provide shelter and food to anyone who expresses the need. They don't ask the visitor what their religion is or any questions at all. They just serve. They give shelter to the homeless. They feed the hungry. We are learning to do that as well here. Last night, our church opened its doors, and we opened our hearts to commemorate Transgender Day of Remembrance. It was a deeply moving event. How many people were able to attend last night? Thank you for being here. It was very, very moving. We gather to bear witness to suffering injustice and unspeakable cruelty against the most vulnerable of our children, of our brothers and sisters. As we called out the names of hundreds of transgender people, we recommitted ourselves to continue to denounce, advocate, and build safe and loving communities where everyone is seen, where everyone is loved, where everyone is welcome. We lit candles, we prayed together, and then we shared a community meal. We extended the table. We did not ask any questions. We welcomed all, and we were blessed. We were blessed to meet some of the participants of the LGBTQNA group that now meets here every Monday evening. I am so proud and grateful for that service, for that connection, and for receiving that gift from them. They approached me to tell me how grateful they were, how for the longest time they were looking for a spiritual home. They said that they had found here the safety and the love that they were seeking for. They had been thrown out or disinvited or made to feel, they said, like they were thieves breaking into a building when they had to have their meetings. In one place, they didn't even give them keys. They gave them a screwdriver to open the door. We opened the doors of our hearts in our church wide last night, and we will continue to do that. I thank them for allowing us to practice our UU values. I thank them for being a gift where others see them as a burden and a problem. Beloveds, may this Thanksgiving offer us many opportunities to share our stories. All our stories are interconnected and make up the bigger story of humanity. I believe, like the Sikhs, that we are one. And I want to practice being grateful for one another every day. Let us be grateful for this community of faith that strives to make the welcome table more and more inclusive. Let us be grateful for our leadership, for our children, for our volunteers that care for our garden, prepare food, teach our children, bring flowers, offer pastoral care, welcome newcomers, develop learning opportunities, make the coffee, wash the dishes, paint the walls, put the order of service together, serve as worship associates and ushers, edit our newsletter, give us the gift of music, of laughter, and bookkeeping, childcare, serve on committees to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, provide resources and support to the LGBTQ community, and march in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement and our Muslim brothers and sisters. For all that and much more, thank you. Gracias. Our stories speak of pain and healing, loneliness and solidarity, loss and shared strength, separation and gathering, despair and hope, rejection and unconditional love. Let us sustain each other by working together, singing together, breaking bread together, being the light that can help burn away someone's fear. Let our gratitude be the light that rekindles hope. Let us be grateful for all that is our life. Ashe, blessed be. May it be so.